What difference does it make? What difference does it make? We're going to ask this question, and then we're going to answer it as we work our way through our time together this morning. Now, obviously, you know, if we're talking about things that are not religious in nature, there are very many things that we could say that, well, it really doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference what kind of car you drive. Everybody knows a Ford is the best car, but if you want to drive something else, that's totally fine. It really doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter whether you are tall or short. That makes no difference in the end of things, in the big picture of things. It doesn't matter what skin color you are, and it doesn't matter where you live. There are so many, many things that really just have no importance in regard to the eternal outcome of our lives. God created man in such a way so that he is both physical and spiritual. And so many, many of those physical things are just things that are trivial in nature. But the spiritual things, of course, we understand that is different. But that thought is so much carried along into religion as well. In so much that sometimes people think that, you know, well, it really doesn't make that much difference in religion. It really doesn't make that much difference in spiritual things. And so much so that we find a lot of division in the religious world. I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know because you're around it just as much as I am. We find that in our world today there are people who hold all kinds of different religious beliefs. And literally everything from A to Z is now on the tablet of what people believe. Different kinds of beliefs. There are different kinds of doctrines, different teachings that you can find in our world, different religious practices and different churches all over this community and communities not just here, but every place you and I might travel, all kinds of religious differences. And so does it make a difference about any of these things? It doesn't make a difference whether you want to drive a Chevrolet or not. But it does make a difference about spiritual things. It does make a difference about religious things. And it makes a difference because Jesus prayed for unity. You may remember Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, where Jesus prayed beginning in verse number 20 by saying, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." You see, Jesus just wasn't praying for those of his time, but for all those who would believe on the apostles right down to this day, right now, right down to this hour, right now. And look at what Jesus says, that they may all be one, that they may all be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And so you see, Jesus has a plea for unity. A plea not only for his own day and age, but for our time as well. Jesus wanted the same thing for the religious division that he saw in his age as he does for the religious division that exists in our world. And so we return once again, does it make any difference to what one believes? Are we free to believe Catholicism or Buddhism or Islam or Hinduism or any one of the maybe hundreds, literally hundreds of different denominations and non-denominations that are around in our world? Does it really make that much difference? Now, there's some popular concepts that we need to think about, first of all, for just a little while. And I want to think about these with you because these are very prevalent and these are a part of our world. And once again, you can find these just as easily as the person sitting right beside you. There is a concept that faith alone is all a person needs in order to be saved. How many times has someone said to you, well, I have my belief and my belief is good enough. All I have to do is believe. There's actually a Christian rock band, I'll put that in quotes like that. And the name of that rock band is Regent. And they have a song that they sing. It's a very popular song. You could look it up on YouTube and see how many hits it has received. But the title of that song is All I Need Is Faith. All I Need Is Faith. Now the problem with that particular philosophy, that particular idea is that what it excludes is that I don't need the blood of Christ. I don't need the mercy of God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need a lot of those things because all I need is my faith. And my faith is good enough. Closely akin to that, there are individuals who would say that, well, you know, grace is all that I need. Grace is all that I need. And for those who would contend that grace is all that they need, well, they exclude certain things like faith, don't they? If all I need is grace, if I don't even have to believe because God's grace covers everything, then I don't even have to have faith. I can live my life and do as I please and act like I want to act and believe like I want to believe. And in the end, God's grace is going to cover it all. It doesn't matter about the blood of Christ. It doesn't matter about the cross of Christ. It doesn't matter about the Word of God, because God's grace, somehow, some way, in the very end, when it's all over and done with, God's grace is going to cover everything and it's going to answer all of the questions. Others will say, well, you know, it's not faith alone, it's not grace alone, but they will say, it's mercy alone. And as long as I have God's mercy, then that's good enough for me. There was not too very long ago a college professor who was in a class and was sitting on a panel of 12 panelists. And this college professor quoted Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 12. Look that passage up if you got a minute. Jeremiah 3 and verse 12, he quoted that passage, and then he made the statement off the basis of that passage. He said, God's mercy always supersedes God's law. God's mercy always supersedes God's law. What does that say? What does that mean? That means God's law doesn't matter, doesn't it? It means God's word doesn't make any difference. It means what God has said is trivial and bears no importance, because God's mercy always supersedes God's law. And He's not alone. There are many people who think just like that, who consider that, well, God's mercy is going to take care of everything, and that's all that I need. And there are many other ideas similar to that. All of us have heard before that, well, it doesn't matter really what you believe as long as you are sincere in that belief. A phrase that really just kind of levels the playing field, so to speak, in regard to any religious persuasion that one might choose to be, that they're all equal. Well, you know what? If that's the case, then Satanism is just as good as Christianity, isn't it? If all it takes is sincerity, all I have to do is be genuine in my belief, then all religious beliefs are equal. Join the church of your choice. You can read about that in your local newspaper. Join the church of your choice. And then the phrase that just as long as you are a good moral person, then that is enough. That you don't have to be anything more than that. You really don't even have to believe any particular set of beliefs or doctrines as long as you live a good life. The problem is that discounts our real problem, and our real problem is sin. You see, it doesn't matter how good you live, how good I live, as long as there is sin in my life, and the Bible says all have sinned, Dan Baum has sinned, you have sinned, as long as there's sin in my life, then I can't live a good enough life to somehow put God in my debt, and somehow God now owes me for my salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Paul makes that statement right before he makes the other statement of Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9. For by grace you're saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. What's he telling us? He's telling us you can't work enough. You can't be good enough on your own. You have to have the blood of Christ and the mercy of God and the Word of God and the grace of God. You have to have all of those things. And so you see, salvation is never a result of just one single thing all by itself, although that is a very popular idea. Now the problem with those kinds of concepts, and this one as well, that one church is as good as another, the problem with all of those kinds of concepts is that they create a barrier to the gospel. You see, the Word of God cannot get through if someone holds on to the idea that it doesn't make any difference what I believe. It doesn't make any difference what I practice. The gospel cannot penetrate that because that ideal is controlling the way they think. And so they would naturally and obviously come to conclusions like, well, you know, if it doesn't make any difference, then I don't need to study from what God's Word says. And yet the Bible teaches us that we do need to study. We need to examine the Scriptures. We need to look and see what God says. But, you know, if it doesn't make any difference, why would I do that? Why would I take the time to study from God's Word? It leads to ideas like all of the issues that one might ever come across in their life. Well, you know, really, those aren't any big deal either. You know, what difference does it make about lying or not lying? What difference does it make about divorce and marriage and remarriage? What difference does it make about homosexuality and all the moral issues we might talk about? If it doesn't make any difference, you see, then none of that makes any difference either. We could very well just live and let live. And as well, I would live such a life that I feel comfortable just exactly like I am. That how I am right now needs no adjustment, no changes. And yet the Bible would teach you and I that what we need to do is that we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves to see if we actually are living in the right way before God. And as well, I would have a church just so that I could feel comfortable. I would attend church services with no other thought in my mind that as long as I check that off my list, then God is somehow satisfied. And God is somehow thankful and grateful that I have attended a religious service somewhere. If it makes no difference, then there is no difference in that. But you see, here's the problem with all of that. And that thinking that it doesn't make any difference at all, what I believe or what I practice or how I conduct myself, that is one of the devil's most effective tools. You know, if we could have been in the garden when Eve finally succumbed to the temptation of the devil and she took of that forbidden fruit, and then she went and she offered it to her husband and he also took of that forbidden fruit, and in the process of time, things began to change for them, and they began to change quite radically. James talked to us a little bit about some of that in his class this morning. Things began to change for them. I wonder if we were there back in that garden, could we ask Eve, does it make a difference that you ate or not? Does it make a difference that you bit on that fruit or not? I wonder what Eve would say. Eve would say, yes. It made an enormous difference. It changed everything when I took of that forbidden fruit. I wonder if during the people of Noah's day, when finally that door was closed up on that ark and that ark began to float, even though Noah had been preaching all the time of the construction of the ark, I wonder when that ark finally began to float and all of those people were on the outside of the ark, I wonder if we could ask them, does it make any difference whether you believed what God said or not, what Noah was preaching or not about the rain coming, does it make any difference? What would those people say who were caught on the outside of that ark? Oh, and they would say, yes, it makes an enormous difference. It makes a tremendous difference. And what about Uzzah? You remember Uzzah, the story is told to us in the Old Testament, how that the Ark of the Covenant was being moved, and Uzzah reached out his hand to stop the ark. And regardless of how sincere his belief was, in that he didn't want that cart to rock and the ark fall off that, he still did something that God told him not to do. And we could talk about Naaman the leper, and we could talk about so many more individuals who, even for just maybe a brief moment, lived and thought with the idea that, well, I'll just do this. And even if they thought so without giving it much thought. You see, the reality is it does make a difference what you and I believe, doesn't it? It does make a difference what you and I practice. It does make a difference because it makes a difference to God. And because it makes a difference for your soul and my soul in this lifetime and in the lifetime to come. And I want to think with you for just a minute about the fact that we don't reason like that in anything else. In anything else that you and I might do, we don't reason it doesn't really make any difference. Because this concept won't work in other areas. What about in your investments? Does it make a difference what kind of investments you make? Or is it really trivial and it doesn't make any difference whatsoever? Does it not make any difference? You know, many people have invested in a company believing it was a good investment, but they lost a lot of money on those investments. You may or may not be aware of, probably most likely you are not aware of it, but many years ago there was a company that came out with a steam-operated golf club. How many of y'all have one of these? Yeah, I didn't think so. Nobody's got one. You know why you don't have one? Because it was a bad investment. It was a colossal failure. People pumped hundreds and hundreds, thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in inventing a steam-powered golf club. But it never worked, and people lost all of their money. Because you see, it does make a difference. Here's another one I know you do not have. Did you know many years ago there was an individual that came out with a battery-powered fork? So that when you stick that fork down in your spaghetti and you hit the button, it will automatically wind your spaghetti around the fork. How many of y'all have one of those? Yeah, I didn't think so. And you know what? Here in just a little while, when we go back and have our fellowship meal, you're not going to find one of those in the silverware trays. You know why? Because people pumped thousands of dollars into that invention. They made investments, and it was a worthless investment. And it turned out to be something that was a colossal failure. And so you see, we don't think like that in other areas as well. And rather, what we do is we think very carefully. We weigh our decisions, don't we? We're careful with what we do with our money. We're careful with the kind of values we place in our families and the kind of influences we allow into our families. All of that so because it does make a difference. It does make a difference. And it makes a difference in what we do in religion as well. Let me submit to you this. If one must believe anything, if you could ever find anywhere within God's Word where God says, you must do this, you must act in this way, you must believe in this way, if there is even just one such thing as that, then it does make a difference. Because God has said, you must do it this way. I want you to consider some verses with me. Consider with me Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, where the Bible teaches that you must believe in God. And so in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, you'll find, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God, notice, look carefully, he that cometh to God must. That's not an option, is it? That's not, oh well, it doesn't make any difference, it's no big deal, it's trivial, who cares? God says you must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see, the Bible tells you there are some things you must believe, and one of them is you must believe that God is who He says He is. What about this one in John chapter 8 and verse 21 and then repeated really in verse number 24 where you must believe Jesus is the Christ. And so your Bible says this, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. Jesus is the one talking. He says you're going to die in your sins if what? If you believe not that I am He. You see, is that an optional matter? It's not an optional matter. You must come to the point in which you believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you don't, Jesus Himself, God's only and divine Son, says you're going to die in your sins. Does that make a difference? Does that make a difference whether you believe in God or not, or whether you believe in Christ or not? Most certainly it makes a difference. And then what about the truth? Are we free to dismiss the Bible as though it makes no difference whatsoever? Well, your Bible teaches in places like John 8 and verse number 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, you shall know it, and by knowing it you're made free. And what about what Paul wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, where there the Bible tells us that we're not to tamper with the Word of God. We're not to change God's Word. Paul said to those Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And he says, now notice, it's not another. It's not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul will go on to comment. Though we, or even an angel from heaven, should bring another gospel, should change this, don't accept it, don't believe it. Why? Because it does make a difference, what we believe. You see, all of these things make a difference. And because of that, what we have to rely on is the fact that God has given us an objective standard. He's given us something that will never, ever change. And since we have the Bible, God's objective standard, that rule, that truth that is spoken of in John 8 and verse 32, since we have that, since you have one in your hand, in your lap, you brought with you this morning, or perhaps on your electronic device, then it does make a difference. It does make a difference because God has given us His revealed will. I want you to think for just a minute how God speaks about His Word. Look at what God says about His Word. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, God's Word is called the oracles of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 37, they are referred to as the commandment of the Lord. Not the suggestions of the Lord. Not the good ideas of the Lord. Not the if you want to's of the Lord. The commandments of the Lord. They're commandments, and you see, it makes a difference because it's a commandment. It is called the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. And it is also told to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, isn't it? You remember that phrase? It's all given by inspiration of God. It means it's breathed out of God. Does it make a difference whether you believe that or not? Well, it makes a difference to God. It makes a difference to your eternal soul. And these are also the words that are chosen by the Holy Spirit itself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13, where Paul is giving a bit of a discussion about the process of how the Holy Spirit revealed God's Word to mankind. And the Holy Spirit chose those words because those were the words given by God Himself. And the Spirit then conveyed those to the apostles. The apostles then wrote those down within our Bibles. And as a result, when you hold your Bible in your hand, you have the authentic Word of God. You have the truth, John 8 and verse 32. You have the commandments of God. You have the Word of God. You have the oracles of God. You have the teachings of God's Word. Does it make a difference? Or has God just maybe put that out there and, you know, if you want it, that's fine, and if you don't, that's fine as well? No, brethren, it does make a difference. And so let's say as we press on a bit further, it does make a difference in what you and I believe. Because if one believes in Christ and is obedient to Christ, what that means is that your sins are forgiven. Did you know that your sins are the only thing that is standing between you and going to heaven? Not your age, not the kind of car you drive, not whether you have a fork that wraps up your spaghetti or not automatically. None of those things make any difference. What makes a difference is because there's sin in your life. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2, the prophet said, "Your sins have separated you from your God." That's the only thing that stands in the way of you being able to go to heaven. And so you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, as we noticed earlier in John 8, 21 and 24. And then based upon that belief, you must be obedient to what He says to do. You must obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And if you do those things, then in the after while, heaven will be yours. If you live a life that is faithful to God, 1 John 1 and verse 7. Now on the other hand, if one chooses not to believe in Christ and chooses not to obey Christ, now let me hasten to say that God will not interfere with that decision. He will not somehow come and prevent you from believing in His Son. He won't do anything to alter your will. But if one chooses, well, I'm not going to believe in Christ and I'm not going to be obedient to Christ, then here's what will happen. You will die in your sins and hell is in your future. Friends, we're not trying to be hard on anybody. That's just the reality of what the Bible teaches. That's just the reality of what God says within His oracles. within His commandments, within His will, within His word. That's what God says. And He makes that available to us so that we can observe for ourselves. We can understand for ourselves that those are my choices. Whichever one that I choose to make is mine to make. And God will not interfere with those choices. But it behooves me to make a decision so that I do believe that Jesus is the Christ. And I do become obedient to His will. And so our practice, you see, must be authorized within God's Word. Not just our belief. Not only just what we believe. We must believe that His Son is who He says He is. And that He died for our sins. Not just our belief, but our practices must also be those things that are found within the Word of God. You see, what the Bible provides for us is that it gives us a pattern, doesn't it? If you were to look in your Bible at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 5, you'll find where the Hebrew writer is talking about Moses and the tabernacle of that day and age. And how that Moses was given the instruction to make all things after the pattern that were shown you. Well, that's what we have within God's Word, isn't it? We have a pattern. We have a blueprint that we can follow so that as we live our lives, we know what God would have us to do. We know the practices. We know the practices that are acceptable to God and those that are not acceptable to God. We have such things as Colossians chapter 3 and verse 7 or 17, which is very clear to show us that whatever you do in word, and you remember how that goes? Whatever you do in word or in deed, right? Or in deed. That's practice. Do it all in the name of the Lord. And so our beliefs must be as God says they must be within His Word. And our practices, likewise, must follow what God says within His Word. You know what that means? That means we're not free to worship any old way that we choose. We're not free to do any old thing we want to do and put a label on it that this is Christianity. We're not free to do that. You know, if we could somehow travel back to the time of the Old Testament again and we could talk to Cain and Abel and we could ask Cain, does it make a difference what you practice? Does it make a difference? I wonder what Cain would say. Cain would say, yes, it makes a difference. You see, it makes a difference because we're to do everything we do in the name of the Lord. In 2 John, in verse number 9, we're told not to transgress the doctrine of Christ. Transgress, if you had a way to look it up in the original language, means literally to step over the line. We cannot step over the line that God has given insofar as what He considers acceptable practice. And as well, we have Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 16, where there Paul, writing to those brethren in Philippi, made the statement, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. What's he talking about? He's talking about our practice religiously. He's talking about how we conduct ourselves religiously because it does make a difference. Our belief makes a difference and our practice makes a difference. And so let me say this to you. The difference it makes in our belief and our practice is that we have fellowship with God and as well we have eternal salvation. That's the difference that it makes. But if our belief and our practices are treated as though they are trivial and unimportant and immaterial, then that will make also a difference in our eternity. Because we will not have fellowship with God and we will not have eternal salvation. And so this morning, let me conclude by saying just these few things. If it doesn't make any difference, then it doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe anything that you want to believe. It won't make any difference whether you believe the Bible or not. You could accept the Bible just as easily as you could accept the Quran, or as easily as you could accept the philosophy of Christian scientists or anybody else. It wouldn't make any difference whatsoever, because what the Bible says would be unimportant and what God says would be unimportant if it doesn't make any difference. But if it does make a difference, and I hope we've been able to examine the Scripture in the light this morning to make it clear that it does make a difference. If it does make a difference, what you believe and what you practice, then that means you need to know the truth. You need to know what God says. You need to take it upon your own self to be serious enough about your study of God's Word, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, that you take the time, that you make the time to sit down with your Bible open and you examine what it says within its pages. That you give yourself, you invest yourself to learning what God has to say. You know, that's why those Bereans were in such a capacity as they were in Acts 17 and verse 11, that they were commended as being noble. Because they searched the Scriptures and they found out whether those things Paul was speaking were so or not. You must do that. It's not just something to say, but it's something you must do. It's something you must invest your time in. You must know the truth. You must examine what has been taught. You must obey that truth then. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. And on the basis of that, you need to live a life that is faithful to God so that when you leave this life and you go into the next world, you will be able to live in such a capacity that you'll live with God in Christ and with all of the redeemed. And the only way that will be so in your life is if you are obedient to God and you do what God tells you within His Word, because you see, it does make a difference what you believe. It does make a difference. And I hope this morning that if you are among us and you have not ever come to the point in your life that you believe Jesus is the Christ, you've never come to that conclusion, then maybe you'll take God serious at His Word and you'll study that Scripture and you'll try to learn what the Bible says about Jesus and you'll try to investigate who Jesus is. And upon believing He is the Christ, you'll be willing to confess that He is the Christ. And you'll repent and you'll be baptized. Because you see, it makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes a difference whether you believe and obey and practice the right things. And if we can help you with that this morning, then we're willing to do so. Alan is going to lead us in a song just now. And the reason we sing this song in the churches of Christ is to kind of give a little bit of motivation, a little bit of time for you to think about those things that have been presented. And if during that song you feel like you need to respond to the gospel and become a New Testament Christian, we'll help you right now this morning by baptizing you based upon your confession of faith and your repentance of your sins, and you'll be added to the body of Christ. If we can help you with that or any other spiritual need, won't you come while Alan leads us just now?